Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
I had just flown into a rather primitive area in northern Luzon, a tribal area of the Philippines, where Bible translators from Wycliffe had just given the New Testament to a group who were reading it for the first time. Along towards evening, men came from the fields and women and children joined their husbands, and they assembled in a group house to hear the good news. What an experience! Unlike so many elsewhere, who hear the good news anxiously awaiting the amen at the end of the sermon so they can get out as fast as possible. These folks listened for hours as I spoke in English, and the message was translated into Ifugao and Ilocano. About midnight, a man asked a question of my interpreter. Pointing to the man, my interpreter said, "He's asking, why should we who have so little give to God who has so much?" Then I looked at the man through different eyes. Here sat a man in a G-string and an old T-shirt. On the table was a coconut oil lamp, no electricity, no TV, no cell phones, no automobiles, certainly no refrigerators. By our standards, his life was rather primitive. What also surprised me is that I had not even mentioned money. But obviously, it was on his mind. In particular, what claim did God have on the little money he did have? I thought for a moment and then replied, "We should give to God for three reasons. One, we should give in simple obedience to what he asks in his word. Two, we should give because it is a means of receiving God's blessing in return. And three, you can take your gifts and pool them, then send someone across the mountain to another group to tell them about God." Now, friend, you may be far removed from a tribal area in northern Luzon, but the reasons I gave are just as valid no matter where you live if you are God's child. Giving is a mark of obedience. Can it be plainer than this? On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul says, your giving should be personal, stressing each one of you. It should be periodic, because he says, on the first day of every week. And it is proportional, in keeping with your income. The second reason to give is that it enables God to pour out his blessings in response. "Give and it will be given to you," said Jesus. "A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Don Finney never had to be convinced. When I was a young pastor, Don invited me to his home to see his books, as he put it. I really expected to see old leather-bound volumes, but what he showed me was a financial ledger going back some 40 years. "I've proved you can't outgive God," Don said, pointing out the fact that the more he and Catherine gave, the more God sent in return. It was all there in black and white covering 50 years of giving. The third reason to give is that the good news of the gospel, the same message you heard one day, can be heard by others around the world. In our world today are almost 3 billion people who have never heard an adequate presentation of the gospel that would allow them to trust Christ as Lord. Are they not just as important to God as you are? Think about it.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Sala with Guidelines for Living. If you'd like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our devotional, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.